Welcome to the Currently Cringing podcast. I'm your host, Anisha Ramakrishna. I'm a TV personality and entrepreneur. Join me as I spill the chai on my cringeworthy life experiences with a side of dating, pop culture, and lots of laughs.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey guys, welcome to Currently Cringing. It's February. It's February 1st.
Here we are. I'm back.
So you've been MIA to the point where I've been concerned. Like, I'm texting you, are you there? Knock, knock. You've been quiet. Quiet dits, and quiet dits makes me nervous.
Well, I was traveling, right? I was in India for a bit for some work, and I got food poisoning there, which was great because I lost a bunch of weight.
You always want, you know, a good bout of food poisoning for some weight loss.
And that was great because that kickstarted my additional weight loss because I got some Ozempic from a friend.
So you're on Mexican Ozempic, to be exact.
Well, it's Ozempic that she got in Mexico, and she's been using it for a year, and it's legit. And it's like, it's fine. It's normal. I think it's the branded normal kind. It's just that in Mexico, it's a lot easier to get this stuff. In America, it's impossible.
Well, today we were chatting with one of our mutual friends, and you were pissed because she's slim and her husband is slim and they're both using the real Ozempic.
Oh my God. So her husband, she's like, he's had weight issues. I looked at a photo. I'm like, this guy's like never been fat. And she's like skinny, dime. And she's like, oh, I want Ozempic. And I'm like, I'm mad at her now.
Because you can't get the real Ozempic because of people like her.
Exactly. There's a national shortage. So like first I had to deal with getting, because so basically there's Ozempic and there's Mounjaro, right? And then there's off-brand versions of those. Ozempic is called Wegovy and Mounjaro is called Zepbound. And basically I tried to go through a bunch of online pharmacies and insurance doesn't cover a lot of these. So that was the first thing. So then I was able to get insurance on this website, Roman, which does a lot of other things like hair treatment and like the Viagra type stuff. So I tried to go through them and they actually, with my insurance, approved me to get Wegovy, which is another type of Ozempic, which does the same stuff. So I was approved and I was ready to go and they sent it to the pharmacy and the pharmacy said that they are out. And I tried two other pharmacies and they're all out. And I'm in New York City. I'm not like in like some random town in Ohio. Like this is crazy. And then we have our skinny friends in Arizona who regularly get Ozempic and it's like, what the hell?
Yeah. And it's not me, by the way. Like there's other people here that we know who are actually New Yorkers living in Arizona from Long Island and they're on Ozempic and they don't need Ozempic. And because of people like that, Dick can't get the real Ozempic, which is why he's on Mexican Ozempic. And I'm going to talk about this. Sheets, hot friend Sheets, a friend of the show. She should be here for this, but she's not. But, you know, The reason I'm paranoid is because she went to a tarot reader, and this tarot reader said that two of her male friends are going to die. And her only two male friends are you and our other friend, Neil. And so now we're all paranoid, and you've started Mexican Ozempic, and I'm annoying the shit out of you.
Okay, hold on. Hold on a second. I feel like I might have missed this through all the texts in our group chat. Also, fun fact, we're all going to die. Every single person we know. So that's the first thing. Second, I don't believe in any of that crap, like tarot reader, whatever. Third, you know, Ozempic is, it's fine. It's not Mexican. It's just like, you know, I have two friends that are on the specific Mexican Ozempic, and they both lost a bunch of weight. They're doing fine. And I'm not sure how Ozempic of any kind is worse for you in terms of like life, death, mortality than half the other shit we put in our body. When people were eating processed food and sweets, and people are doing all kinds of drugs. Like, this isn't like doing lines of cocaine with fentanyl in it. This is perfectly fine.
Well, because of Sheets, who decided to, for some reason, share that in our group chat. Like, can you imagine? Like, oh, guess what, guys? I went to a tarot reader and he said you're all going to die. And because of that, now I'm messaging you day and night, making sure you're okay.
Well, the best part is actually, I don't really know how to give myself the Ozempic shot. So once a week, my girlfriend has actually been giving it to me. And she works in healthcare.
Which I love. Like, nothing like a supportive girlfriend who wants you to be the best version of yourself. And a lot of people were upset at me for telling you to maybe try Ozempic in the last episode or two. But that's what your friends and your partner who care are going to tell you. If there is a medicine that can help you lose some weight, why not?
Well, I think for me, it was, I'm tired of losing the same 10 pounds every year. And it's a lot of work to lose those 10 pounds, right? And it's like always in the winter, your steps are less, you're eating a little bit more, you're drinking more, there's holiday parties, whatever. I'm tired. I don't want to do it again. And lo and behold, I lost like 6 pounds in 2 weeks just by existing. And it's not like this magic pill or whatever. It's kind of just like, it's a bit of an appetite suppressant. That's the first thing. And the second is that it just makes you like crave specific different food. It's almost like skinny people, what their brains are. Like, I hang out with my skinny friends, and like, they can go in and look at a menu or food, and they are able to pick healthy foods. And also, if we go to like a burger place, they'll have a small quantity, or they'll be like, oh, no bun, you know, or I'll get a turkey burger. Whereas like, I took it, and actually I went to a new burger place in New York, and all my guy friends got two double patties. I got one and I was stuffed. And that's just like, what's wrong with that? I'm still eating a burger. I'm just eating a lot less.
And now you're 8 days in or 2 weeks in? How many days?
8 days now. So second shot was yesterday. And I'm just always, it's not like I don't eat bad food. Like, I had a donut just now, but I also like, I feel kind of sick and like, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, I'm good now for a while. And like, I had a very healthy lunch. I'm going to probably have a very healthy dinner. And it's not like this is a perfect day, but it's also, from a calories perspective, it's a pretty good day for someone my size. And I'm probably going to lose weight between today and tomorrow.
So how does this work? Like, what is the process? You got your shot, and then what's the dosage? How often do you take it?
It's once a week. 0.25 milligrams is what I'm taking right now. And I have a pen that basically has, I think, 4 milligrams. So I have like, you know, 16 weeks worth. And my friend is just going to keep hooking me up because she's a very good friend of mine, and also NKP's. And she's been doing it for a while, and you know, I Venmo her, and it's like, it's totally fine. I don't see why not. We've all put so much other weird stuff in our bodies. And also, it's kind of like, remember like when we were in high school or college and everyone was like talking about weed being like a really bad thing? And now weed's normal. It's legal. Yeah. It's the same as having a beer these days. I think that's going to be Ozempic in 5 or 10 years. It's going to be very common. Everyone is doing it. I'm not going to name names. Every celebrity that you know, and they're skinny and they're doing it. So why can't people that are a little overweight or very overweight do it?
Our friend Sheets, hot friend Sheets, again, the one who dropped like the horrible prediction from the tarot reader, She's going to be mad if we out her, but I'm going to out her. She told you not to go on Ozempic.
Yeah,
she said it would create loose skin.
Right. That was wild. We love her, but that was an interesting take. And, you know, it's worth experimenting. I'm trying it out. I think I'm not going to do it forever. I think this is something I'll do till I get to a certain weight, and then I'll go off it and then see how I feel. And apparently we have friends who have done it and got off, and there's this rumor that, oh, you gain all the weight back. No, this is not like Atkins diet. This is like it almost retrains your brain to think differently about food. So yeah, let's say you get to, you know, 180 pounds and you started at 220. Yeah, you'll go back to 190 maybe, but you're never going back to that first super obese category.
And now I also appreciate you sharing your story, because I think not a lot of guys talk about it. I mean, the guys in our group chat talk about it, but publicly on television, in the press, in shows, like, you don't really hear about diet culture mm-hmm. within men. And you just mentioned Atkins diet. I'm sure you're someone that has tried a lot of fad diets.
I did keto for a while, paleo. I did calorie counting, which is ultimately, I really like calorie counting and just focusing on protein. And what's good with Ozempic is I crave just like chicken, fish, vegetables, rice. It's like the things you're supposed to eat, those are the things I crave on Ozempic. Like, even if I get like a Chipotle bowl or something, like, I don't get the sour cream. I get like chicken, veggies, rice, and I eat around the rice and a little bit. So it's like almost like nibbling, like what all you skinny people do, you know? Like I don't think I've finished a meal in a while.
It's true. Like, I never finish my meal at a restaurant, and that's on purpose. I don't do that if you want to. I would rather eat the whole thing. But it's like you said, something in your brain's like telling you this is the amount to stop at.
I think the biggest mistake is that when our parents told us to like not throw food away growing up because they're starving children somewhere, who cares? Throw it away.
Take it home and eat it. Like, do a double meal. Like, sometimes I'll do half and half. Like, whatever I had half of at lunch, I'll eat the other half at dinner.
Yeah, I've been doing some really weird stuff. I ordered a bunch of dumplings and I had two and I was like, okay, this is a lot. And then I've just been like picking the meat out of the dumpling.
That's what I do. I do stuff like that.
Or like, you know, I get a burger and I'll have a couple bites and then I'll take the bread off and I'll be like, all right, I'll just have the patty, you know? So it's like all these little skinny people habits.
And I think those are also eating disorders, by the way, for the listeners. Like, this is just another form of an eating disorder. Everyone kind of has their own eating disorder. Like, people say have a healthy relationship with food. I haven't found that yet. And I think you just do what works for you. And what works for me has been calorie counting and just, you know, splitting portions.
I think the healthiest form of eating is doing like parts of the year where you're healthy and you're not. Like the winter, you can be a little bigger and then just like be really skinny in the summer and like slim down. You know, that's probably the way to do it.
Or really, like in my case, I have a very bland, boring, plant-based crunchy granola diet when I'm home. But as soon as I'm traveling, if I'm in New York City or if I'm in Europe, like all bets are off.
We found out you were a bit of a Ponzi because you were giving us all this nutrition advice, and we found you're like, oh, I have my green juice every day. And then you told us that you ate 4 chocolate bars a day, and we're like, okay, well, no wonder you get headaches all the time.
Yes, I was a complete Ponzi, and I was keeping that to myself. In the month of December, I always have this, like, oh, it's Christmas, it's time to eat, right? Like you said, the winter, the holidays, it's like my time to really just, as a secret foodie, eat whatever I want. And I was eating 4 bars of chocolate a day in December to the point where I almost fainted. And that's when I got terrified. And that's when I admitted it to you guys. Like, guys, I almost died. Like, something happened and I'm going to stop. And I've stopped since. But I also think it attributes to something in Arizona, in this shithole that I'm living in. That, like, it makes me want sugar. When I'm in Arizona, something in the air pressure, it does something where I want.
You're drinking a can of Coke every day and having a chocolate bar every day. And you just won't have any protein. And we're like, please just have some. Like, our hot neighbor Julio He's always telling us to eat protein.
Yes. And so I haven't done that since the fainting, which was in December. And now it's just a craving that I have here. And then as soon as I get back to the East Coast, it's gone. Like, I don't even, like, sugar tastes like corn syrup to me. Coke tastes like corn syrup to me. Like, eating chocolate tastes disgusting. But when I'm here, it's all I want. And we actually looked it up, all of us together, on ChatGPT. And it says there is something to it with, like, the dry weather. I don't know. The point is, I need to get out of here. This place is, like, killing me slowly and not for me mentally.
I'm ready to
be on the same time zone. I miss my friends. I miss being with you guys, and I can't wait. Sooner than later, I will be out of here. But I will say I'm proud of you, and a lot of people won't open up to sharing their story. A lot of people will tell you, I won't name names, that they're at the gym, but they're on Ozempic. They're on the O.
Yep. That's right. Well, the whole point is it's not like a miracle. You're supposed to do a bunch of things together. It's like a supplement. Like, keep lifting, keep running, keep walking, keep eating as well as you can. And then in addition, take your Ozempic, and that actually just helps. And it just also helps you not be discouraged, because, like, I remember so many times doing all the right things and seeing such little progress, whereas here I'm doing maybe 80% of what I normally do with Ozempic, and I'm getting more, you know? And you know, the trope is, like, people are, like, killing themselves Monday to Friday at the gym, eating really well, and they just destroy it over the weekend, right? It's just, it's all gone.
Yeah, you see those people that go ham at the gym. They're going so hard, but they look the same. And it's because whatever they're doing at the gym is canceled out by what they're eating on the weekend.
It's not just the eating. It's the eating, it's the drinking, and it's the, let's say you're not stepping or whatever, and you're in, like, a serious surplus of calories over the weekend.
And I do agree with you regarding the steps in these cold places. When it's below 20, like, I was in Dallas last weekend and it was 25. It was painful to go outside, and we did have to go outside and, you know, just get into the car and, like, walk parking lots.
Below 20, below 30, even below 40 is kind of rough, right? I think 40 is enough, 50. You know, when you get the spring, summer weather, I mean, my step count is, it's so funny when I look on my phone and you can just see every year it's the same. And it's like from April until October, I'm at like 10,000, 9,000, 8,000. And then the winter months, it's like 4 or 5, maybe 6, you know?
No, it's brutal. And even walking on the treadmill, like, I like ambient walking. I really enjoy walking outside, but walking in the treadmill is awful. It's one of the most awful things ever. I mean,
only one person we know is addicted to the treadmill, as in treadmill walking.
Neil. And it's NK. Neil. And, you know, I can't relate to a lot of his workout. Like, he works out all day.
Like, yeah, he's on conference calls and he's got his laptop open on the treadmill.
I mean, good for him, but it just, I don't have that in me. But you did mention that your girlfriend's giving you the shots. And I know we said we don't want to disclose too much because Nazar, which is like evil eye. And I do believe people want all around single people to remain single. Like, it's like a thing. Like, people are happy if you're single, because then if you had someone, then it's perfect, because that's all you're missing.
Exactly.
Like, you have everything going for you. And I felt that way when I was single. Like, that's the one thing I'm missing, like, just someone to share my life with. And then you get it, and then you talk about it, and then poof, like, something bad happens. So we're not going to delve too much into this. But would you say you're also busy because this relationship might be different? Whereas, like, you know, it's, you're taking it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot in common and we do a lot of fun stuff together, you know, whether it's the Netflix, the cooking, you know, going out, dinners. Obviously, winter's a little different, but, you know, spending time together. So I'd say if I'm with her, I'm not on my phone, which is what people should do, you know.
Accurate. And it's also because you're both mature. I'd say in the past, you dated girls that were like in their late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all geriatric millennials. It's just different. It's more laid back.
I mean, I've dated girls in their 30s too who are immature. I think, I mean, obviously late 20s hits a little different, but, you know, there are girls in their early 30s also. I feel like 35, like, the closer you are to 35, that's a big number. 30, like, I wouldn't advise anyone who's serious about dating someone who's 30, because 30-year-old boys are just total fuckboys, right? They're the worst. And then 30-year-old girls are still, you know, they're like, oh, maybe I'm looking to settle down. But they're still kind of, I say 33 to 35. That's a great, even 36, 37, those are great ages.
Yeah, because you want to lock it down, most of us. But, you know, I'm proud of you. I really am. And just taking this step to, you know, improve yourself, and you have her support, which I love. And she's really a smart cookie, which I think that's the best part about her. You know, just someone driven that has their own shit going on. And that's what you should be looking for, whoever's listening, whether you're male, female, whatever you identify as. Your partner should have their own thing going on.
Yeah, I think it's like the things I like. She's ambitious. She's smart, hardworking. And then just like, you know, she has her own life and she's kind, you know, all the things I'm looking for. And there's always a goal. And also there's friendship. I think I got lucky in that we had like a good base of friendship, you know, so because ultimately your partner is someone who should be a friend. I think what I'm realizing is a lot of people I've dated, like, yeah, maybe there was like, you know, lust and all this other stuff, but there was no friendship. It's like, if we weren't dating, would we be friends? And with a lot of my exes, the answer would be no.
And with the same example you've seen in my own life, which I am an extreme example, but there are ebbs and flows in a relationship. And it's like, without the sex, are you friends? Right?
Yeah.
Because Absolutely. That's going to happen in life.
Yeah. And I think you and your husband, like, you know, you would be friends if you weren't dating or married or whatever. So that's good.
Absolutely. And sex is important. You need to have sex. Do not follow my example. We are working on it. Speaking of relationships, I have a hot take. We're going to switch gears. You may or may not agree. The listeners, if you guys are Swifties, I am a recent Swiftie. I became one after Midnight was released. But I'm going to say I'm at a point now where I think Taylor and Travis, that's a Ponzi relationship. And now more than ever, I think we live in a simulation, because what are the chances that the Chiefs win and now he's going to the Super Bowl? Like, how does that even happen? And then for the face of Pfizer, let's not forget that.
Oh man, I love it. There are some wild theories that have been going around. I'm a sports fan, so I've been enjoying this story all year. And what's funny is like every week of the playoffs, which has been happening for a few weeks now, people have been betting against the Chiefs and they keep winning. And I'm just like, I don't know if I want to fuck with Taylor Swift. Like, I feel like she's got some black cat dark magic going on. And I'm just like, bet against these guys at your own will, you know, at your own risk.
For sure. I'm not betting against Taylor. That girl clearly has some sorcery going on in a positive way.
I've been looking into this for a few weeks now. So like, you know, my friends do a lot of sports betting and they're like, oh, the Ravens, the team they played last week. Oh, you know, they're the best defense. They have a good quarterback, one of the top in the league. They're at home. I'm like, I don't care. Throw all the numbers out. Like, it's like, do they have Taylor Swift? Then there was a bunch of conspiracy theories that they said that, you know, they put some referee in that people thought would favor the Chiefs, because this is a referee that always is good for the away teams. And it turned out it didn't even matter, right? Because the first touchdown of the game was Travis Kelce. And who was in the skybox?
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
And then the second, and then he scored a second, and then Taylor Swift again. I'm like, there's something spooky going on here right now.
Yeah, I think so.
And then I've been looking into this for a few weeks now. Even before the Chiefs made the Super Bowl, I was looking at Taylor Swift's tour dates. Have you been hearing about this? That she's in Tokyo.
Yes.
The Thursday and Friday and Saturday of the Super Bowl weekend. And Super Bowl is on a Sunday in Vegas. And a lot of people don't know this, but she can easily leave on her private jet, because I think her concert is like 6 to 10. She could take a private jet at 11 p.m. and get to Vegas by Saturday night, so she could get to the Super Bowl in time.
You know she's going to be there.
P- People are telling me, oh, it's a lot. She's in Tokyo and then Vegas and then back to Sydney. I'm like, dude, she's not flying like economy.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On like a commercial plane. She's on her
luxury private jet. She's not on the Wright brothers plane.
Like this is a, like I could be so lucky to fly halfway around the world and back on Taylor Swift's plane.
And anyone who had that opportunity and option would take it. If my spouse was playing the Super Bowl or my significant other that I really cared about was playing the Super Bowl and I had that kind of money, you bet your ass I'd fly. I don't care what the climate activists say. I would fly and be at the game.
Well, she already has pissed the climate people off. But again, she's not in like a, you know, a flatbed. She's in a full bed. She's in a full bed on her private plane and she's sleeping and she's getting to Vegas and she's going to be there. And then the Chiefs are probably going to win. And then she's going to celebrate Sunday night and then she's going to fly Monday back to Sydney. And
accurate.
You heard it here first. I'm sure other people are saying it. That's something to look forward to a week from Sunday.
Which is also Chinese New Year weekend, but that we'll save that for another discussion.
Nice. Exactly.
Yeah, that's the New Year I like to celebrate. But dibs, bets are on the Chiefs winning because you don't bet against Taylor Swift.
I'm at the point where I don't even look at the statistics anymore. And this happened last week and this happened the week before. And I don't do it. And there were a bunch of people like, you know, actually the Chiefs were doing very badly at the end of the regular season. And everyone's like, well, they're going to make the playoffs and lose. And I was like, I don't know. And they've just been rolling. And I think it's because of Taylor Swift's Black Cat magic. And this is her year. And have you seen the meme going around that 2020, there was also the same Super Bowl matchup, same presidential matchup. And there was another thing that happened in 2020.
Plandemic. Yeah.
So.
A lot of juju. I don't know if it's good or bad, but the Chiefs will win the Super Bowl and we officially live in a simulation. Everything's rigged.
Exactly. Are you and your husband considering going to Vegas for the Super Bowl or it's not too far?
I would not mind. I love doing those things, but I think tickets would be like in the thousands. So it's not really an option, right? Like those tickets, how much do they go for? Like 30,000, 40,000? It's true. Crazy. Have you ever been to a Super Bowl game?
No, there was one in New York many years ago. And I actually was in town that weekend, but I had a wedding right after that in India. So I went to India and missed the Super Bowl. But, you know, priorities.
Yeah, of course. I think that would be like the only reason we wouldn't go. But obviously, I would love to be at the Super Bowl or any Super Bowl. I think that's like a bucket list a lot of us would like to have because it's one of the greatest sporting events in the world. But yeah, not this year. And especially with Taylor Swift there.
Do you think Taylor Swift will ever perform in a Super Bowl? Because they've obviously asked her already and she said no. So do you think down the road she will?
She would have to be like at her legacy era where it's like she's in her 40s, 50s, probably, because if she's saying now, which is like the peak of her career, she's at the peak. I don't think it's going to get better than this.
Right.
There, then, you know, I don't see it happening. So it would be like maybe with an ensemble or she might surprise us.
So there's a prediction that if the Chiefs win, that Kelce will propose to her after the game. Have you heard that prediction?
I think it's too early.
Okay.
I think it's a Ponzi relationship.
But they seem very happy together and very affectionate and, you know, all over each other. You can't fake that.
I also think they are well matched, like all American, like that apple pie, like, you know, the American flag. Like I see them and that's like
what
a picture of America.
The quarterback and the cheerleader.
Exactly.
Or the football player and the cheerleader. Yeah, pop star. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I see it. It's like when Jessica Simpson was with Tony Romo, and like I loved that, but then he played badly.
Yeah, that was a good relationship. I like that. That was fun.
Yeah, I thought that was going to go somewhere. And she wrote in her book later on that she did really like Tony Romo and she thought he was the one, but apparently he treated her poorly. So
I did not read that, but I need to. Did you read in the news yesterday that how much money the NFL has earned from Taylor Swift this year?
That's like $300 million something.
$331.5 million in brand value. Mm-hmm. That's insane.
Yep. Kids, little girls are watching the football games now because of this.
Yeah, that's why everyone's saying it's rigged. But honestly, I don't care.
Well, you think about it, right? Like the economy is, you know, teetering and we have an election year and millennials, if anything, are complaining about housing. I don't really know anyone else complaining about it. And what better way to get everyone sidetracked than the Super Bowl and this relationship?
I love it. I'm here for it.
I'm here for it too. And speaking of relationships, we had a very interesting conversation this morning. We were talking about a what if scenario, right? Like as we always do, a lot of us millennials, we have nothing better to do other than talk about the what ifs and fake scenarios. And we were talking about relationships with your spouse and then your own mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different takes on this, and you have a hot take.
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends. If you find the right person, then all this goes away. But in general, I was saying you only have one mom, right? Whereas, you know, as a guy, women can come and go. So I think what I was trying to say is that if you're dating someone who doesn't get along with your mom and who, like, you know, tries to sort of keep you from her, keep her distant, you know, and sort of just takes you for her own, that's not someone who has your best interest at heart. And that's worth walking away from, because I think as a guy, again, I don't want to talk about the other gender, but as a guy, you can always find a new girl and that girl will be the one who actually gets along with your mom. That's my view.
And my take was, I agree with you as a friend. Your mom comes first. But as a guy, eventually, you'll worry about your own immediate family. Like our boomer parents have their life with their family, and then you'll have your life with your family. And in the case in my own relationship, my husband has his own relationship with his mother. And I think that's because we're different, because we're older. Like, you know, I'm not like a 25-year-old bride. Like, mm-hmm. I'm now turning 40, like a newlywed. And I have my established relationship with my own family. And I accept my husband's family and I love them. And I love hanging out with them. But do I have this like personal, strong relationship with my mother-in-law? No, it's more like an acquaintance, because we're older. I call my own mom, you know, and, you know, I spend time with my mother-in-law when I'm with my husband. But I think the reason why things are smooth is because he has his own relationship with his mother. And I'll give you an example. In the beginning, my mother-in-law would call me and ask me, why hasn't Anand called her? And it was like me being the newlywed, it could be taken as, does she think I'm telling my husband not to call? Or does she realize this is Anand? He's not calling or answering anybody because he's in an operating room like for 14 hours a day. And that was me thinking, okay, in order to avoid this, Anand should call his mom and talk to his mom about why he's not calling her, not me. I don't want to be the middleman in this. And so from there, we established, babe, you need to call your mom and talk to your mom. And if your mom has something to talk to me about directly with me about me, then she calls me. But if it's about you, as in my husband, she should call him directly. So we don't have this miscommunication.
I think that's okay. I think my point was just that if there's a situation where a guy is with a girl, wife, girlfriend, whatever, and she's keeping him from his relationship with his mom and like cutting her out entirely, then that's a problem. But I do understand that, like, especially like in Indian communities, there's this whole mama's boy thing. So it's tough, right? And that's why you always said everyone should date an orphan.
Everyone should date an orphan. But like I said at my comedy show, and I meant it, my in-laws are very hands-off. And, you know, they're not concerned with, like, how many times am I calling them and stuff like that. Like, in fact, they were, like, asking Anand, like, when are you going to come visit home? Because, again, it's his schedule. And I think it's taken everyone in his life a minute to realize, okay, you're done with school. And we thought finishing fellowship, residency, like, life would be a breeze. If anything, now these are the years he has to really prove himself. These are the years that count. So he's actually never available. And so Emily had to figure that out also, that like, it's not me.
Right. He has to juggle his work, but also his marriage. Right. I think everything else kind of comes third.
And that's, I think, what was initially kind of the minor conflict that he had with me and him. And his family was like, okay, why aren't you calling your mom? Why aren't you visiting home? Because I'm not stopping you, but it's because he doesn't have time.
Do these boomers not understand what being a surgeon is? I'm so confused because I get it.
Boomers don't understand what being a surgeon is. They don't. I'll leave it at that. And because also, then you have not only his surgery schedule, the time he does have, obviously it's like, I'm the wife. Like, he wants to spend it with me. Like, we have to work on us.
He also wants his alone time, right? He loves going to
the
gym.
And alone time. He loves going to the gym. We talk about this a lot, too. Like, you're like, wait, so he has a full day of work. And then instead of coming home to maybe sit with me or whatever, the first thing he does is go to the gym. And I respect that because at the end of the day, and for everyone listening, you got to put your own mental health first, because if he's not okay mentally, if he's stressed, then he's not going to be okay mentally with me. And I get that.
Also physically, right? Going to the gym, that's good physically for him.
Exactly. So these are just things we wanted to talk about. And I do agree, people come and go and you have one mom, but things can get tricky depending on the mother-in-law. Every mother-in-law is different. And Anand and you are very similar. Dits, you're both the moms are obsessed with you guys. Like, my mom's obsessed with me, but, like, you know, she's also, she can be hands-off, but...
Isn't she very hands-off? She's like, remember you were like, oh, I want to go see you? And she's like, no, I'm traveling. Like, go away.
Yes, because I'm the one that needs to be coddled because I'm so used to living at home for so long. And so it took me a minute to finally realize, like, I'm an overgrown child. Like, I finally left home and, like, okay, I have my own life now. She did that for my own good. But I would say there are a lot of moms that are, like, obsessed with their sons. Like, you are obsessed with your mom too. Serge, my husband, he and his mom have a relationship. Like, they talk on the phone. Like, I tell them, go to the other room and talk to your mom. Like, you know, that's like their time. And that's what I'm saying. I respect that.
That's just more boomer things. They love calling. I talk to my mom on the phone, but I don't want to talk to her on the phone. It's just because I have so many missed calls.
Absolutely. But once you get a wife, is what I'm saying, is what happened to me. You not returning her calls may reflect badly on your wife, even though it has nothing to do with your wife.
That's very good insight.
That's all I'm saying.
Wouldn't know, never been married. So love to hear that from you.
Well, your girlfriend did meet the parents.
Wow. Yeah, it was my dad's 70th birthday dinner, and we had like 10 people or so, and they've been wanting to meet her for a while, so they invited her to dinner. And we went to the Aman in New York and had sushi. It was great.
I love that. And by the way, for those of you listening, the Aman, it's one of the most exclusive hotels in the world, hotel brands in the world. And they opened a hotel in New York City, and they have this incredible jazz club, which is open to the public, but it's also extremely hard to get reservations because members get first dibs. And I also want to say, Ditz, your mom is not like the regular mom. Your mom's a cool mom. Like, you know, if we're talking about mother-in-laws, like, a girl would be so lucky to have your mom as a mother-in-law. And I'd say even my mother-in-law and my mom, like, these are all great mother-in-laws.
I think my mom said that if I was with someone who, like, doted on me, then she would do the same for that girl, right? I think that's ultimately. Whereas, like, if she sees it's someone who's dating me for the wrong reasons, and we've definitely seen those girls in the last couple of years, then she kind of is like, no.
And we also have this thing, and I don't know what goes on in your house, for example, with your sister and her husband, as in how do they call your or address your parents, right? So in my case, we're at a stage in life at 38, neither one of us is calling our respective mother's mom. Because it's just weird when it's just not natural, and it has to come naturally. And if you are a boomer and you're listening, like, don't make that a thing. Like, let it come naturally. If the other child or in-law wants to call you mom, let them, but don't make them.
So my brother-in-law calls my mom mum, M-U-M. And my dad, he calls him papa. I feel like it's obviously a cultural thing too, because, like, I feel like you could say Mr. and Mrs. whatever, right? When you meet auntie. Someone and there's uncle, auntie and uncle is very obvious. I have no idea what to call anyone these days. I feel like sir and ma'am is really good for a bit, and then you kind of see what's right.
Yeah, like I think from one day to the next, calling someone your mom is outrageous.
Well, like I said, you only have one mom, or in some cases, maybe you have two moms, but they're still the two moms that raise you, right? I don't know about the in-laws. That's all. I feel like in Indian culture, we have all these different terms, like behen or something.
Or... Yeah, like sister or whatever. But I mean, I just think it should be optional. It should be if you want to, or if it comes naturally. It shouldn't just be something you just blurt out, you know, like it's a case by case situation, but I don't think we should be telling people what to call other people.
Yeah, I get that.
I'm just giving you the tips on, like, this has been smooth sailing for me because I've, you know, we've been upfront, we've had open lines of communication, no one's pretending, and I think that's why everyone is calm and peaceful and happy. There's no forced situations.
I'm just in the fun period of dating right now. Like, we are planning a bunch of trips in February because winter in the Northeast is terrible. Going to Cabo, going to Vermont, all the fun winter things.
I love that for you. I've never been to Vermont. Always wanted to go. But what is it? There's Ben and Jerry's in Burlington?
No, it's mostly just ski houses. Like, I've done a lot of, like,
you're going to Stowe?
I'm not sure where. I think we're going to Burlington, but we've done Mount Snow before. I've done Killington, different ski resorts. My girlfriend has a bunch of friends in Burlington, so I think we're just going to stay with them and just hang out. Sometimes you just go to a ski house and you just chill. And go to Cabo, staying at the Nobu. That'll be really fun. And this weekend, going to Park City for a bachelor party. So, honestly, winter, you just got to get out of here. And then hopefully by the time I'm back in March, you know, it's a little nicer and I can get more steps around the city.
And you're following the playbook we give all the pod listeners. You need a couple of trips, right? To really learn about each other. You know, people, things are different. You've already been on one, so you're on track. But, you know, we're just following the playbook.
Yeah, that trip didn't go as well, but it was also kind of the wrong location. And like she was also like on a work trip, and then I came after, and it was kind of like it was just like a weird vibe. And it was also probably a little too soon, but now is the right time for a trip. And it's like just going to be like a friend's trip, and then it's going to be like just a relaxing vacation, you know? Like
Love
no
that.
work or anything else.
Well, thank you for sharing everything with us, Peruse. I have nothing new to report. I am prepping for my show in Toronto in April and just hunkering down, laying low, getting a lot of things done behind the scenes, and hopefully moving.
Nice. Do you know where we are now? Now that we're in February, 3 years since I dated the original Ponzi who fled the country now.
That is hilarious.
And then I think we recorded in March of 2021 the first time. So we're
Wow.
almost at 3 years.
Incredible. I can't wait. I want to come to New York City. I know we've talked about this. I am doing some vodcasts because now the kids want you to record the podcast on video. And I'll come to New York City and we can get something together where.
Come in like March or April. I feel like I'm around both those months. The weather's a lot better, and then we can go to the Aman, hang out with all our friends, and have a good time.
And I'll just have you on the pod on video because I think you have a lot of great insight and a lot of great advice, and have Sheets come on as well. And we can really give the listeners a visual of what this.
Well, maybe we can delay till April or May or June, because by then I'll have more time on Ozempic and I'll look better for video.
More for the aesthetic. Okay.
Right now it's just a good voice. If we're going to go on video, I need to really, really quickly shed those extra
Well,
LBs.
you are very charming and good looking, and you know this, which is
Oh,
actually
thank you.
to pull off a good face and dad bod, like that's rare. So you already have it going on. We've already said
Oh,
eight, yeah, you're a 15 out of 10.
I already told you I don't want to like be shredded. Like no one wants a six pack. No one needs a six pack. I don't think like any women in their 30s and 40s want a guy or need a guy with a six pack
No.
because it's not necessary, you know?
I don't need one, and I don't care for one.
And you're just looking for a guy who's like in shape enough, right? And a
Just
bunch of other things.
healthy and kind and is generous with his time, love, and money.
Yeah.
You can
And
meet
affection.
someone with money who's not generous.
It's true. Absolutely.
So, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thank you so much for sipping the chai with me this week. If you like the show, remember to rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram at Anish Ramakrishna. I would love to hear from you. Join me next week for more chai.